Okay, good. A little movement. You can continue some of those conversations during coffee time today. Our 50-day season of Easter is finished. We had 50 days to find Jesus, 50 days to meet resurrection in new ways in 2010. 50 days ago, the church declared, "He is risen." Last week, on Ascension Sunday, the church declared, "He is rising." And today, on Pentecost Sunday, the church declares, "Oh, I get why Jesus had to keep on rising." Because that's the only way that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, would show up and speak up. Eureka! 2 weeks ago, we were working through Acts chapter 11, and we were challenged by Peter's question, "Who am I that I should hinder God?" And Acts 11 gave us an abundance of what I called Holy Spirit signage. And I encouraged us to allow these signs of the Spirit to shape the attitudes of our hearts and our minds and our actions. I encouraged us to pray with a mystical mind. I said, think about the broader spaces that God might be calling you into. I encourage you to ask, where are the us versus them places in my life, in our lives? I said, let or look for the Holy Spirit to fall. And then I invited us to submit to the Spirit. So that was Acts 11 a couple of weeks ago, and now we're back to where it all began. In Acts chapter 2, what some might call the birthday of the church, but I'd like to call it the bath day of the Spirit, the day when the Spirit was poured out anew on a pretty ordinary group of Jesus followers, and all heaven broke loose. So today, on this day that we name as Pentecost Sunday, let's take some time to embrace some Pentecostal reminders. Pentecost comes from the Greek word 50th, so we can consider that these are 50th day reminders. Reminders of what the Holy Spirit has done and what he might do as we push towards this season after Pentecost. In the church calendar, we call this 27-week season that lays ahead the season after Pentecost, SAP. Or we call it the season of ordinary time, soot. So sap or soot, take your choice. You've got 27 weeks of it. So hopefully Pentecost will move us through sap and soot in a growing and glowing way. Acts 2 is one of the most popular stories of the Second Testament. Rushing wind, tongues of fire, flames appearing on human beings, these ordinary blue-collared Galileans speaking the languages of many nations, the crowd being bewildered, amazed, astonished, wondering if this ragtag group of Jesus followers were drunk at 9 in the morning. As we walk through today's text, I'd like to use Acts 2 as a springboard into the next 27 weeks of ordinary time of this season after Pentecost. Three reminders to embrace as we think about Pentecost Sunday long ago and the Pentecost that we might live in the months ahead. The first Pentecost reminder is this. Pentecost reminds us that the Holy Spirit is creating new moments. The Holy Spirit's creating new moments. In verse 2 of Acts 2, we read, "Suddenly from heaven there was a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting." It's interesting to note that the Pentecost story in Acts 2 is not this gradual transition. The NRSV Bible uses the word suddenly. This was that kaboom, sudden moment that the disciples were looking for. Life as they knew it would never be the same. And what about us? With each Pentecost reminder that I'm talking about this morning, I'd like us to pause and consider what it might look like for us to embrace the newness of Pentecost. Now, I'm not expecting that tongues of fire might show up right here in the next 15 or 20 minutes, But there's something that needs to be said about new moments created by the Spirit. And even in the 21st century, what are the new moments for us as Jesus followers that we might embrace this week and in this season after Pentecost? Consider what was going through Peter's mind as this whole story was unfolding, as the wind was blowing, as the tongues of fire were appearing, as the disciples were bursting into these languages. There's commotion. And if you try to imagine it, I was thinking this week, it might be like being at the Street Performers Festival in Churchill Square. Maybe there's 1,000 people around or 1,500 people around, and you're with a group of 100 people. There's all this commotion, and the crowd is bewildered, astonished, amazed, and they're saying things like, "This is a farce. The Jesus followers are drunk. What's going on here?" And in that moment, what was going on in Peter's mind? I feel like he had a choice. He had a choice to stay quiet and work this out quietly in his own mind, or he had that choice to speak into a new moment. And we read on that he does. He chooses to speak into a new moment. And so maybe for us in this season after Pentecost, that might be one opportunity we have to live Pentecost Day. Speak into a new moment that God might present for you. And maybe if you have new moment stories in the weeks ahead, please share those. Please come up on a Sunday morning and share a new moment story of how the Holy Spirit might be creating new moments amongst us. Secondly, the Pentecost reminds us that the Holy Spirit is creating new additions. I was thinking about the radical inclusiveness of the Spirit in today's story. Everyone's getting involved. This isn't just the spiritual people. This isn't just the paid clergy. And hopefully this is music to the ears of Baptists who celebrate the tradition of the priesthood of all believers. Verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, there were devout Jews from every nation. Verse 14, Peter's speech speaks to all who live in Jerusalem. Verse 17, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. The Holy Spirit is interested in everyone. Who are we that we should hinder God? And so here in chapter 2, we see where Peter had this radical view of inclusion. The Holy Spirit was descending and making new additions out of people that maybe were once not included in the people of God. Now, I don't know where your mind goes when I say new addition, but don't think new building space or renovations, and don't think we need to bolster the First Baptist Church membership list. Those are nice things and good things, but when I'm thinking about new additions this morning, I'm thinking about what does it mean for us to feel like we're all in this together? And maybe some of you already believe that. Maybe some of you believe that you're a part of the people of God, the movement of God, the movement of the Spirit. But I'm often surprised by how many people don't feel like they're a part of that. Maybe they feel like they're not holy enough, or maybe they feel like they're not worthy enough, or maybe they've had this church experience where someone said, "Well, you're such a bad Christian. How could you think you could ever be a part of something like this?" Or maybe you're one of those Christians that says, "Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. What can I contribute to a church community?" Well, this morning, in the name of a welcoming, loving, generous, gracious God, I want to say that you are a new addition to the people of God. I know I don't have this magic power to make that happen or make you feel like that is happening, but it's right there in God's story this morning. God is pouring his Spirit on all flesh. And I would like to be so bold as to say that that does include every one of us in this room. We are all a part of the God movement. And if that's not a problem for you to believe in today, then maybe this week you might be one of those people that's an includer. Be a messenger of the Spirit that tells others too that they are a part of this God movement, this Spirit of God that's moving through our community, outside of our community, in the city of Edmonton, even to the ends of the earth. But you might ask, what would I say? Or how would I say it? So thirdly, I want to say that in the midst of new moments and new additions, that Pentecost reminds us that the Holy Spirit is creating new utterances, new words. In verse 17, we read, "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Now you'll note that Peter also goes on to quote the prophet Joel, and he includes vivid imagery of blood, fire, smoky mist, a sun turned to darkness, a bloody moon. And you might ask, what in the world are all those images about? And I won't spend a lot of time on that, but there's some incredulousness to all these images. And I'm thinking that as Peter was talking about the arrival of the Spirit, he was also saying that there is an incredulousness happening here. The Spirit of God would no longer be restricted to one place like a temple or to a certain sector of the people of God. Because the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's available to all of us. Every generation, every social, economic strata of our congregation or this community of faith, everyone, all will prophesy. And so I want to urge us to be prophets. That there's not just one or two or five or ten prophets amongst us in this room. We, if we're included in this people of God movement, we're all prophets. Look to that person to your right. Look to that person to your left. Do you trust them to be a prophet? I need a drink. We can all be prophets, but I just want to spend a few moments talking about what that might look like. And I'm going to use some guidelines or some ideas from one of my ministry mentors, Bill Roycroft, a blessed man of God who passed away in 2009. And he would teach me and others in Lethbridge about speaking prophetically. And I thought, well, just to get us started, just to get us talking, just to get us thinking, we have 27 weeks to work this out in the season after Pentecost. But maybe some of these ideas might just help us get moving. Bill would say that prophetic words are quickened words from God. God takes a scripture and quickens it in your heart. I'm going to pass out these notes with news and notes. If you're in the email loop with First Baptist, you'll see these in news and notes in the coming week. Bill would say that prophetic words are about building up, stirring up, and cheering up. He would talk about prophetic words and say, imagine words bubbling up like springs of living water or falling down like gentle rains. A few more ideas. How will we know that our words are prophetic and not pathetic? Here's six quick guidelines. If your words are prophetic, people's hearts will bear witness. People know when they hear the voice of God. Secondly, our words will be consistent with Scripture. One of my favorite phrases from Bill, he would say, if it's not in Scripture, then it's just an interesting experience. Thirdly, if it's in God's word, it's obviously positive, not judgmental, condemning, or damning. Fourthly, God is always singing an ongoing song to his people. Prophetic words help to turn up the volume. Fifthly, the results of prophetic words will be freedom, peace, salvation. And sixthly, prophetic words reveal Jesus. Where do we start? A few ideas for where do we start. Set aside time to sit with God. In a quiet place, in a solitary place, sitting with scriptures, seeing where God wants you to use those scriptures that you're reading through. Where do you start? Trust that the Holy Spirit's already started and that He will use you. The Spirit will use you. Trust that people are looking for comfort and encouragement. And if you can be God's echoing voice to comfort and encourage, that's a good place to start. Keep it simple. Use common sense. A third section of ideas is, how do we stay balanced as prophets? How do we not go nutty and start a cult? Well, we stay in scriptures. We keep our hearts clear. If we get proud, we'll soon become resentful and bitter. We remember that God is gracious. We be ourselves. Be yourself. Be natural. Be gracious. Be comfortable. Recognize that sometimes you're going to make mistakes, so stay humble. And whenever Bill taught about speaking prophetically, his closing words were, be available. Tune up the song of the Spirit for people. And he always reminded us that we can always encourage. So Pentecost reminds us that the Holy Spirit is creating prophetic utterances. I want us to take that to heart today. Let's utter to one another prophetic words, both within our community and outside our community. We have a million people in Edmonton who need a prophetic, encouraging, humble, blessed word this week. You will see them this week. They're all around us. And I was thinking that if you're still feeling hesitant in that prophetic word, a simple place to start that reflects the heart of God is simply to say, I love you. Not in a phony way. It's got to come from an authentic place. And maybe you won't, maybe even that might be a little over the top. But maybe you can say to someone, you're God's beloved. And that might be all you need to say to someone this week, to gently remind them whose they are and who they are. So as we close today, I just want us to spend a quiet moment responding to these Pentecostal reminders or reflecting on them. Firstly, I want to invite you to help ask the Holy Spirit to help you to be open to new moments. Secondly, invite the Holy Spirit to show you who those new additions might be. Who are those people that need to be welcomed amongst us? And thirdly, let's be this prophetic community. Let's be a community that simply says, I love you. Or maybe says, you are God's beloved. Or might we even in the 27 weeks ahead, speak forth with words of encouragement and blessing, grace, and hope to this community here that we're a part of and to this community that we're called to day after day, week after week. Let's pray together. Respond as the Spirit might lead you today. Our closing prayer is from St. Benedict today. O gracious and holy Father, give us wisdom to perceive you, diligence to seek you, patience to wait for you, eyes to behold you, a heart to meditate upon you, and a life to proclaim you through the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.